Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The New Testament book of Galatians reveals much about the gospel of grace and the freedom that believers have in Christ, especially the first 4 chapters. But chapter 5 brings us a well-known warning about falling from grace. Have you ever wondered what it is to fall away from grace? Is it to commit sins after you're saved? Does it mean that you lose your salvation by grace? Stay with us as we look at Galatians 5 on today's Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee. Today brings us to a very interesting and important chapter in the New Testament. Ron Kangas has returned to our studio to be part of our program today. Welcome back, Brother Ron.
I'm glad to be here and to contribute to the proper understanding of how we need to abide in the Lord, to enjoy His unsearchable riches, so God has a way to carry out His economy.
Well, Ron, the first 4 chapters of Galatians, I guess in a very real sense, present the gospel preached by the Apostle Paul. Of course, his gospel doesn't give us the details about Christ's human living as the 4 actual gospels do. So then why is it fair to consider these chapters as the gospel and potentially even a gospel that is richer in its spiritual content?
Considering where we are in our study of Galatians, having gone through chapter 3 in some depth, and also in chapter 4, I would like to suggest that Paul is preaching the gospel of the pneumatic Christ. This is a continuation of what is revealed in the 4 gospels. Paul is preaching the gospel of the crucified Christ, the God-man, who is now in resurrection, and in resurrection he is the Spirit for our participation and for our experience and enjoyment. So Paul's ministry is a continuation of the gospel as revealed in the 4 gospels, and it makes the gospel subjective, experiential, and enjoyable to us in relation to God's New Testament economy.
Well, in our introduction today, or our opening, we talked about this phrase, falling or fallen from grace. The context in the entire verse goes this way: you have been brought to naught, separated from Christ. You who are being justified by law, you have fallen from grace. And that's Galatians 5:4. And it's also the topic of our first portion today. Let's join Witness Lee.
Let's read verse 1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand fast,
therefore, and do not be again entangled with the yoke of slavery.
Verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you are circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who is circumcised that he is a debtor
to the whole
law. You have been brought to naught, Christ. You who are justified by law, you have fallen from grace. You have fallen from grace. What is to be brought to naught from Christ? The King James Version says, you have made Christ of no effect. And the New American Standard renders this way, you have been severed from Christ. That means you have been cut off from Christ. If you look into King James and the New American Standard, you could see their renderings are altogether different. Dean Alford, in his New Testament, he says the English equivalent to this Greek word must be this word in the ancient meaning, not in modern meaning. What word? Annihilated. Annihilated. Dean Alford says annihilated is just an accurate, exact, literal translation of this Greek word. But the original meaning of the word annihilated is to bring someone or something to nothing. This is exactly the meaning of this word. You have been brought to nothing. You, the dear saints, the believers in Christ, who have been grafted in Christ, enjoying all the riches of Christ, but because you go back to law, you go back to circumcision, you have brought yourself to nothing. You have brought yourself to naught. You have annihilated yourself from Christ. So here you could see the background concept is grafted branch. When a branch is grafted to a better tree, by being grafted, and this branch is put into the enjoyment of all the better things of the better tree. Now, suppose this grafted branch relinquishes the tree, and this relinquishment makes this detached branch nothing. This relinquishment brings this detached branch to nothing from the tree. Grafted branch, if you relinquish the tree, you reduce yourself to nothing from the enjoyment of all the riches of the tree. Oh, to me, this is very, very invading.
Ron, in Romans 11, Paul gives us this picture of a wild olive branch being grafted into the cultivated and superior olive tree as a type of our life in Christ. And this picture also is very applicable in Paul's word to the Galatians in 3 and 4. How is this analogy also helpful to convey the sober warning about being brought to naught that we see in verse 4?
It's functioning here as a very apt and vivid illustration. To be brought to naught from Christ is to be separated or severed from Christ in our actual, practical, experiential situation. And because of such a separation, to be deprived of all benefit that is ours in Christ. So in verse 2 of chapter 5, Paul says that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. We want to be careful here. We're not saying that one can be severed from Christ in the sense of losing one's eternal salvation. Our salvation is secure eternally. We're talking about what is our actual daily situation. Are we abiding in Christ? Are we enjoying Christ? Are we living a grafted life? Or has something intervened to cause us to be severed from Christ, brought to naught from Christ, and no longer to participate in the unsearchable riches of Christ that really are our right according to God's redemption?
Ron, we're going to step back a couple of verses in this coming section. We want to add Galatians 5:1 at least to the mix that we're going to be addressing. This says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand fast, therefore, and do not be entangled with a yoke of slavery again." Let's go back to Witness Lee.
You have to understand verses like 2 and 4 in this chapter. Verse 2 says, "If you are circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Then you have been brought to naught from Christ, you who are justified by law. You have fallen from grace. You have been brought to naught. Christ shall profit you nothing." For us to understand these words, we need the background. The background was that there was God's promise. In you, all the nations shall be blessed. The blessing was promised. Then after 2,000 years, Christ came. The seed came to fulfill the promise, that the promise may become grace for us to enjoy. And this was fulfilled, accomplished. And then the accomplisher of the accomplishing seed became the all-inclusive life-giving spirit. And this spirit is the blessing of the promise. It is indicated clearly in chapter 3, verse 14, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit as the blessing of the gospel. Right here, we are enjoying this life-giving Spirit in Christ. And by enjoying this life-giving Spirit, we all have become children according to the Spirit, heirs of the promised blessing. This is our status. This is our standing. And this is our enjoyment. So Paul says, stand fast here. Stand fast here in this enjoyment. And this enjoyment may be called freedom. Stand here in this enjoyment. Stand here in this freedom. But if you still go back to law to be circumcised, then you have just reduced yourself to nothing from Christ. Then Christ shall profit you nothing. Then you have fallen from grace. What has been described, presented in chapter 3 and 4 is actually a kind of grafting and grafted situation. We all have been grafted into this Christ, who on the one hand was the fulfilling seed, and on the other hand is the blessing, the good land, the life-giving spirit. Now we have been grafted into him. And this is our position, and this is our status. Here we do have the enjoyment of all the riches of the better tree. But now, if we would go back to law, we get ourselves detached from this better tree. Then we made ourselves nothing. We just brought ourselves to naught. We just reduce ourselves to nothing from Christ. In other words, from the enjoyment of Christ. Then Christ shall not profit us anything. Then we have fallen from grace. Now you understand the word.
Ron, we're looking at these verses in Galatians 5, the early verses. Verse 4 contains another phrase, a very well-known phrase, about falling from grace, and we talked about it a little bit early on. What is it actually referring to?
The verse reads, "You have been brought to naught, separated from Christ. You have fallen from grace." So the first thing we need to point out is to be fallen from grace is to be brought to naught or severed from Christ. This implies that the grace from which we may fall in our daily living is Christ himself. The issue here is not losing one's salvation. The issue here is losing our daily enjoyment of Christ. So to fall from grace is not to lose salvation. To fall from grace is to lose the enjoyment of our salvation. It is to be reduced to nothing with respect to Christ and all that he has and is to us. Now, one other thing. What causes us to fall in this way that we have just defined? It is not some kind of moral failure. It is not sin. According to the whole book, to fall from grace is to go back to the law, to the principle of the law, and to try by the flesh without faith, without the Spirit, without Christ, without grace, to do good to please God by ourselves. The situation with the Galatians was that they had received the Lord and were taking the way of grace, And then the false brothers, the Judaizers, came in to say, no, you've got to be circumcised and you've got to fulfill certain legal requirements. Paul was fighting against that pernicious teaching, saying, if you go back to the law, Christ will not profit you anything. You'll be severed from Christ. You'll no longer participate in Christ, and you will fall from grace. So we can summarize in two ways now. To fall from grace is to be brought to naught with respect to Christ, to be severed from the enjoyment of Christ. And we fall in that way, we are brought to naught in that way, because we turn from Christ, who is our grace, back to the old dispensation of the law, and try to do something that we think God requires as a condition of salvation or as a condition of our enjoyment of Christ. So we are now going against a strong tide of misunderstanding, but we must do that in faithfulness to the Word. To fall from grace is to turn from grace, which is Christ, to the law and the flesh. And that is to be brought to naught from Christ, to be severed from Christ. If we have this understanding, then we need to see the issue is that we drop all self-effort, that we reject any teaching that would interfere with our abiding in Christ, and that we exercise faith, which operates through love, to abide in the Lord as the true vine, and to enjoy his unsearchable riches, and allow him to live through us for the glory of God and the building up of the body of Christ.
I was reading a publication that came from Watchman Nee's writings. In the early years in this ministry in China, after the missionaries had brought the gospel in such a very dynamic way to China, the one thing they failed to do was to really solidify this very point. And I know Watchman Nee spent much time in the early years of his ministry on these topics, the assurance of salvation, the security of salvation, and how that the misappropriation of verses like this one caused a lot of problems and much damage and much suffering on the part of young believers. So it's not a point that should be treated lightly. It's very critical. Let's go back to Witness Lee. We want to look now in our final section at Galatians 5, verses 5 and 6. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith avails, operating through love.
For we, by the Spirit, by faith. Don't forget, the Spirit is the grace, the scenery. The faith is the organ, the camera. We, by these two things, by the Spirit, the grace, and by the faith, the camera, the organ, eagerly expect the hope of righteousness. Who is the hope of righteousness? Christ is the hope of righteousness. We are here expecting that the hope is coming. But what are we expecting? By enjoying. Well, we are enjoying the all-inclusive land, the Spirit, by our organ, the faith, we are expecting, waiting for the coming of our hope. Then, you see what? For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything. Just the Spirit and the faith. These two things avail. Just the good land and the enjoying organ. Only these two avail. Nothing else avails. Circumcision, uncircumcision, all mean nothing. Only two things avail. That is the Spirit on God's side and the faith on our side. We should treasure these two things. Then here it says, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything, but faith operating through love. If we don't have such an appreciating love, faith doesn't work. Faith doesn't operate. Faith is dormant. Faith is sleeping. But when you have the hearing of faith, and this hearing of faith stirs up appreciating love, then faith operates. Why this faith operates? Because this faith just participates in the all-inclusive spirit. Check with your own experience. The more you have the hearing of faith, the more you have the appreciation, the more you have the love toward the Lord, the more you have the love, the more faith operates. And the more faith operates, this faith just brings you into all the riches, all the profit of the all-inclusive spirit. You are not deprived, rather you are enriched. You are not brought to naught, rather you are what? You are strengthened into all the riches, all the bountiful supply of this all-inclusive spirit.
Ron, in the era in which the New Testament was written, the question of circumcision was a big one among God's people, but the principle represented by questions of this sort still apply. So let's come back to the contrast presented in these verses 5 and 6 between the relative merit of the Spirit operating through faith and whether or not to observe something outward, such as circumcision.
Paul tells us very clearly in 1 Timothy chapter 1 that God's economy is in faith. And Hebrews 11 makes very clear that the unique way to run the race of the Christian life, to live the Christian life, is by faith. If we have the proper understanding of faith in the New Testament, and especially as exemplified by Abraham's experience in eventually bringing forth Isaac, we'll realize that faith means we are nothing and we have nothing and we can do nothing in and of ourselves to please God, to satisfy God, or to carry out God's purpose. To accept some kind of concept that we need to do something outward as a qualification, as a condition of experiencing and enjoying Christ is an affront, an insult to God, and a denial of the gospel of the grace of God. The issue here is nothing less than the carrying out of God's economy according to his heart's desire. And the choice is this, the religious way, with some self-effort in the flesh to fulfill some imposed legal requirement that allegedly is designed to make us satisfactory to God. There's that side. Or there is the side of the divine revelation released through Paul that God in Christ has accomplished everything in our behalf. We need to believe into Christ by a faith which is infused into us by God himself. This faith operates through love, which is our appreciation of Christ and all that he is and all that he's done. And this faith, which operates through love, brings us the Spirit, which is God himself reaching us in his all-inclusiveness to apply to us all that he is, all that he has, and all that he's has done and all that he intends to do. So this is an all or nothing situation. There's no middle ground. Religious people can take the way of self-effort to fulfill legal requirements. But if we are enlightened from the book of Galatians in particular and from the New Testament as a whole, we will see, as Paul so strongly expressed it, that is contrary to God's economy. God's economy is in faith. The Lord is the author and perfecter of faith. The more we love him and appreciate him, the Lord, the more faith we have, the more faith we have, the more we enjoy the organic union. The more we enjoy the organic union, the more we participate in the all-inclusive spirit so that we may grow in the divine life, to be mature sons of God, as the components of the body of Christ for the corporate expression of Christ. We really hope that many of our listeners that have only known a kind of religious context and are really struggling to live the Christian life and really know there's something more. We hope that this will be a word of grace to them, to point them the way opened up by Paul into the participation and enjoyment of Christ through a veiling faith and operating love and the bountiful Spirit.
Amen, Brother Ron. Well, our time is up. I want to point out, as always, of course, we offer the printed life study messages. So please call us. Today for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.